But every Wednesday morning, we catch up with our good friend and County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. She joins the program. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning and happy Valentine's Day.
Exactly,
I had my
right.
Valentine's card call this morning, giving me the great news that a Bichon, and you know that's a relation to my puppy dog.
Oh, that's right. The best in show.
One best in show. I can't believe I
missed
it.
First time since 2001 the Bichon has won the best in show. And I feel bad. I'm late to the party. I thought the big night was tonight, but obviously they want to get this done before Valentine's Day so all the dog lovers can go out and have some fun as well.
I'm telling you, I mean, you know, my Bichon puppy dog is really my heart. So that was a good call. Also, the other thing that you're speaking of this morning having to do with the weather. We had a report last night at the county council meeting. I had requested that John Chambers of our highway department come and talk to us about all these big craters that once
potholes.
And people are, I'm just asking everyone, continue to watch for those potholes. And because they are dangerous, they have to be filled in, and we're working as fast as we can. But see, the weather stops you. And why this is so bad this time of the year, it's, you know what our weather's been. We've had really freezing days, and then, you know, then it warms up. And so all that freezing.
Well, it sounds like a perfect recipe for a pothole.
It is, and those potholes are just going to continue to grow, and of course, they're going to be after it just as quick as they can and as they can get their supplies to continue to do it. Now,
can I ask you a dumb question, Marty, because okay. I'm not a pothole expert, and I know you're not either, but maybe you heard this at your meeting last night. There's a ton of rain in the forecast for now in the next coming days and the next week or so. Does that affect filling potholes? Do they need dry conditions for that? How does that work? Do you know?
Well, certainly, one would believe that it's pretty hard to fill a crater that's turned into a swimming pool.
Sure.
With anything. So I think they're going to have to try to find days that's drier. And one would hope that, of course, right now they'd have to be doing it with cold mix because they can't get the hot mix right now. And you know what? You'd have to talk with John Chambers to get...
yeah, I just didn't know how that worked. Sure,
it.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's common sense, and having been a part of watching the highway budgets for years and going to some of those conferences, in order to get that patched really hold, those holes need to be cleaned out and for that patch to hold. But right now, I think they're just trying to just patch it so that people aren't having wrecks. And so he did... share a number. I hope I have it right now. I wrote it down as he was speaking. 353-3244 for
pothole reporting.
For pothole repairs. He said he really needed to give out that number because everybody'd be calling, and I said, better call you as be calling me because then I'll just have to call you.
That's
you
right.
They'll get the call.
It's a game of telephone, but everybody, again, people don't want their cars banged up. Letting everybody know that they are aware of it and are going to be out there and getting to it as soon as they can. That's part of the deal. It's your tax dollars at work that should be used to repair this stuff, right?
Well, yes, except, of course, we're really blessed to have all of these dollars that's come back from the state because the state's been real good to Monroe County. Not sure how good they've been to the city, but they've been real good to county government to help us with our road repair dollars. They've stretched those dollars into making the legislation so that it's not just for replacement, but also for maintenance. And I don't remember the name of that bill or how that's working, but I remember reading that very recently. But that's important because our ice is melt the salt to take care of ice, that barn's empty. And it more has been ordered, but you can believe that the highway departments throughout the states and probably through the entire regions needing that salt. So we never know. You know what it's like in Monroe County and in Indiana. And we haven't had...
The good
had
news is, right now, looking ahead in February, we don't have any problems. So let's cross our fingers and hope that continues.
We know we always have snow for sectionals. Come on. We haven't had sectionals yet.
No, we have not. The sectional draw will be Sunday, and then we will get to high school sectional basketball starting a week from next Tuesday, the 27th. So it is right around the corner. And the extended forecast out to the 27th looks pretty good, Marty, but you're right. Indiana weather can be goofy. So we order more of this. We're hoping just to order enough to get us through, not to fill up the bin, correct?
Well, actually, the budget, since he's ordering it out of this year's budget, they like to get it ordered in advance and then have that sitting there waiting for this next go-around, which would be this next fall and winter. So, but if they have to use it now, they will. But, you know, they have parts of Bottom, wrote all of this in the northern part, Bottom and Bolting House and Woodall and Flatwoods and Morgan County line roads that are just simply coming apart. So we really need this additional money. That's for certain.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in with us. What else at your meeting last night that we need to be aware of? I say a Cook TIF district. Try saying that fast three times on the radio.
Right, absolutely. And that's the beginning portion of what we have to do because others have to vote on this as well. But this particular thing is going to be that property that no one wanted and many tried to sell and no one could do anything with. And once again, Cook steps up to the plate and says, okay, we're going to be responsible for that. Now, the additional tax dollars that will be going into just that area, right where their property is, all of those additional tax dollars, because they're putting all this money in there, will help them put the money in there. But had they not done that and no one else did, that money wouldn't be coming in anyway.
Right, there'd be no, yeah, I got you.
Right.
Let me give you, here are the details here. I'm just reading from Ernest Rollins' story this morning. The county council approved Cook's request to purchase $6.2 million in bonds to pay for the redevelopment of 100 acres of Cook-owned property along North Curry Pike, which includes the former GE Appliances property. While Cook pays for the bond up front, the company will recoup those costs using tax increment finance revenue, also known as TIF revenue. Last year, the company turned to local government officials for funding assistance to redevelop the property along Curry Pike. Cook already has a tax abatement approved and is in the process of securing tax increment financing revenue.
And what happens here is that they're not going to be pulling in that TIF revenue from any of the other properties. They're talking about just what is going to be paid on just that property that they're putting back into improving the area right there in that area. So, and it's not backed up with property tax. They are going to be totally responsible for it. So that's a good part of supporting those bonds and so forth, which is not quite the same thing as what is being presented to us so far, having to do with the convention center bond. So we'll put on our hat and talk about another project going on, and that is the meetings are going forward having to do with convention center. I did ask last night when that presentation was made that they seriously consider our limestone heritage when they're talking about finishes for the project, that we keep in mind that we are limestone country and to honor that in their finishing projects. So I also know that it was discussed about negotiations or whatever word you want to say it, that it's going to be in executive sessions. And I know that Eric Spumore has asked for a list of those who would be participating in that executive session so that we can sort of follow along. We may not know what is being discussed during those sessions, but we would know who would be a part of it. And remember, this is all public dollars, and that's important that all of this has the light of day, considering all of the horrendous stories we've been seeing in the paper about what has not had the light of day, we want to make sure that everything we do is fully covered and the public feels like they've had an opportunity to hear what's going on.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, and I don't understand how some stuff gets swept under the rug or not covered, and some does. That always makes my head scratch. So,
well, I'm not, as you know, I'm not at all a happy camper about what has happened having to do with the trash transfer facility over here in my district. I mean, that was really going to be shoved right down our throat without us ever hearing one word about it. And many were aware of it, certainly at least 2 weeks before the rest of the council was told about it. So, no, I'm not happy. It will take me quite a long time to get over that part because people in that area and indeed the entire county was going to be affected by something that everyone was willing to say, yes, we want that trash transfer facility. I mean, the people who were involved. We want it, and we want it across from PrintPac. Whoever the owner was going to eventually be, they were signing on saying they wanted it across from PrintPac. So that's just an egregious thing to have happen.
That's amazing how many people didn't know about any of it until they knew about it. So,
well,
I guess that's how the game's played these days. And if we're silly enough to stick our head in the ground and accept that's how it's played, that's on us as taxpayers. It's on us as voters. And if we just want to just nod and wink and say, oh yeah, sorry about that. Okay, that's fine. That this is all public record. This is all out there in the open. This isn't anything that's wink, wink, or knock, knock.
Well, sorry about that. Just, you know, sometimes, yes, okay, well, I understand you're sorry, but that doesn't really...
sorry you got caught or sorry you're sorry. There's a couple ways to say that, and I'm not passing judgment on either one there, but that's two ways to look at it. Are you sorry you got caught, or are you sorry because it really was an issue? That's what each individual is going to have to make up. That's what they're going to have to make up.
That's what the public has to decide where they come down on this. But I can just assure you, I work hard to have a good name. It's important to me. It's the one thing that I can, as best I can, try to present to the public exactly what I know and when I know it. And I'm just really appalled that this happened in local government, and I hope it never happens again. And I think that there are a lot of people who have said, from now on, we want to see what's going on far more.
I haven't even done this radio program for 10 years yet. I'm getting close. But if I had a list for all the things that we could say that we'll never see or hope to never see happen again, I'd have a couple legal pages I'd have to flip through. This is rhetoric at its finest from those presenting it. We've seen it in multiple departments throughout government. And just after a while, this is why people tune out and don't care, because they just get the same lip service over and over and over again. I'm not saying you. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I don't have enough fingers to point at everyone. That's, I guess, my point in all of this.
And you know, I love county government. I love Monroe County. If I didn't, would I have spent how many years now trying to do what needs to be done to represent the people in my district? And I am as disappointed as anyone can be in what has happened. It seems like over and over and over again, either someone has not being forthcoming and honest in that auditor's office, two auditors in a row, or whether we have
how many auditors in the list.
It's just, I am so disappointed in the choice that people make once they get in public office. And so I just have to say that I'm disappointed, and it breaks my heart. But, you know, to the best I can, I try to find these things before they get out of control, but you cannot always for instance.
No, because there are things that don't want to be found out before they get out of control, and that's, I think, some of the problem with all this as well.
Well, there's a lot of reports that we can go to, that we can get more information, but it's what's behind those reports. It's what's on every line, and it is very difficult to find everything every place. So I've asked for certain information from the council office so that we'll see what some of these reports look like. So we'll know how to look in all of the departments as best we can to see where's the checks actually going out of our appropriations? Where's the budgets? Who's really getting paid? And that's something that I think is important for everyone to try to follow along with. In addition to which, we did get our tax rates back. So that's something that people need to look at. And of no surprise, those tax rates went up throughout Monroe County, with the exception of that area in Northwest where the fire territory is. It went down just a slight bit because it was supposed to on the second year, but that still doesn't mean that it's anywhere near down where it was before that fire territory was put together. But everyone else's went up rather substantially. Richland Township, of course, is always one of the higher ones, and Bloomington City, Perry Township, went from 2.07 to 2.12. Richland Township then went from 1.79 to 1.945. So we're going to see some larger tax rates, and we'll see more people then perhaps hit those circuit breakers. That's something I tried to explain to folks last night. You know, our businesses, such as Cook, they do not get this homestead exemption that we get and the reduction in how we pay our taxes, which keeps our tax rates or the amount that we actually will pay much lower for those people who have a homestead. But the businesses do not have a homestead. They don't have all of that, in addition to which they're not cut off at that circuit breaker at 1%. They have to pay all the way up to 3% of their assessed value. So it takes a long jump before they will get any tax relief. So for those people who are creating jobs to receive assistance to help them create jobs, we, the homeowners, get assistance routinely through this circuit breaker. Of course, that doesn't help with the rental property. But, and this is all sort of glaze over, but when you get your tax bill, it will help you understand why these tax rates going up will affect you.
All right, Marty, good job as always. We appreciate your Wednesday checking in. Have a great Valentine's Day, and we'll do it all next Wednesday.
Great. Thank you.
County Councilwoman Marty Hawk checking in on Wednesday to keep us, again, up to speed on what's happening in county government, your tax dollars, and all the rest of it.